We're here with Nosipho Dumisa, the director of Number 37, who's in town for the Sydney Film Festival and the Australian premiere of a new film. Nosipho, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Glenn. Thank you.
So, Number 37, it's your new picture. Can you tell us about your new film?
Yeah, it's this really great thriller, I think, inspired by Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window. And it's a little spin on it that's set in the Cape Flats. Which the Cape Flats is kind of like the ghetto of South Africa, ghetto of Cape Town. And it's this really contained story about a man, Randall Hendricks, who makes a really big mistake at the beginning of the film by loaning money from a loan shark, ends up in a wheelchair when the deal goes bad and still owing money. Now, in desperate need for cash, girlfriend gives him a pair of binoculars. He starts spying on his neighbors and soon enough, obviously sees a crime go across the way, and instead of calling the police, this is where things turn, he decides to start blackmailing a murderer. And essentially, it's just about everything that goes wrong to him and his girlfriend from that point on.
Now, you mentioned the allusion to Alfred Hitchcock. I did notice some similarities of Rear Window. We've seen some different versions of it. I've got to say, this is my favorite. And what did you, in terms of inspiration for the film, what did you take directly, but what did you decide to amend or change, because there are elements that are radically different from the Grace Kelly, Jimmy Stewart film?
Yeah, thank you for that. Absolutely. I mean, obviously the premise of Rear Window is the same as what we have, you know, a man injured in his apartment, starts watching his neighbors, witnesses a crime. Those are essentially the elements of Rear Window that I definitely pulled from. But in terms of how it's changed and how it's so different, definitely in terms of the fact that there's a money situation as well. And I think that was completely relevant to setting a story like this in the Cape Flats. It was never going to be the same as if it's set in New York in Greenwich Village, you know. This is a man who is struggling for a better life. He wants a better life. So everything that he does comes from that motivation. It's not about implied, you know, curiosities or what might happen or whatever. This film is about greed, and it's about corruption. It's about the lies we tell one another to make each other feel better in a relationship, and it's about desperation. I think those are the elements that are radically different from what Rear Window is about, and it's what pushes and makes this man Randall Hendricks and makes Pam so relatable and so much more I think attainable to an audience.
Now, you mentioned Randall and Pam, who are two of the main characters, but one of the characters I found absolutely fascinating and is introduced in the very opening frames of the film is the gangster, who is recurring throughout. And he was a fascinating character. How did you go about putting this character together and getting this outstanding performance?
Yeah, I think you're referring to Emmy, our loan shark there. So loan sharks are quite, I think around the world you find them, but in Cape Town, in South Africa specifically, they're a very interesting breed. They kind of find their own way in life, and they're businessmen. That's actually what they're about, but they're the most ruthless businessmen you'll find, and they will stop at nothing to get what they want back. And for me, it was really important that I found a man who was from the world of the Cape Flats, who understood what that world is about, which is this amazing actor, Danny Ross. But for him, he kind of, we both knew that we didn't want to portray this character in the normal way that you would see a Cape Townian gangster being portrayed. And so he kind of went and studied different portrayals. I know he pulled from a lot of characters he's loved over years, but we wanted to build someone who's got this incredibly sadistic nature to them, where the work is as much about money as it is about the pain that he inflicts on others.
Well, he was certainly fascinating. And changing tack ever so slightly, what I found fascinating in terms of the cinematography and production is that you filmed, or at least most of the film was set in the one apartment. Yeah. And that has some amazing bounds, but also some incredible opportunities and possibilities there. How did you find producing the film and shooting from predominantly this perspective?
You know, it was one of those decisions that I'd made even as I was beginning to write the script very, very early on. I knew that I wanted the story to happen mostly within this apartment. And a lot of that had to do with how Randall himself feels. So a lot of this film for me was about putting the audience in that frame of mind of how he sits. So even in the way we film him in the apartment changes from the beginning to the end, because it's because he's changing, where he begins the film feeling stuck and it's like a prison for him. And therefore we feel stuck and we can't move. And the camera doesn't really move as much. And as time goes and he begins to gain control because of these binoculars, where as much as they're inflicting chaos in his life, it's a certain level of control that he has that he hadn't had before. So for me, it was really important that we try and find something different. It's challenging, obviously, but we needed to find new angles each time and a new way of expressing exactly where he's at emotionally. And create this feeling of claustrophobia that then becomes chaotic.
What I found so interesting, and it's mirrored in Rear Window too, how we watch films and we are voyeurs, but within this we are a voyeur within a voyeur. And how did you find this working with this dynamic within this movie?
I think it's quite freeing, actually. It was quite, it's strange. I found it so exciting to be able to be almost studying Randall ourselves. So we begin studying him, and then he finds these binoculars, and we find ourselves studying through him, you know, studying the world through him. And for me, I think it creates an interesting perspective, because for me, in this world, I'm actually an outsider. I'm not from this world. So I've always observed it from the outside watching. And it was incredibly empowering for me to be able to say, well, okay, great, if I'm in this world and I'm here, but technically I'm on the fringes of it because I can't be a part of it, I'm stuck in this flat. And to be able to watch the going ons of what people of daily life was, and to be able to give that taste to the audience, but then also create the frustration where if Randall isn't watching through the binoculars, we can't see what's going on outside either. And how frustrating is that? Because in other films, you would know other things that Randall doesn't know. But in this film, you only know what he knows. It's so fun.
It's a great dynamic. You just want him to pick it up and go, like, we want to know what's going on outside.
Yeah. And I think that's what the most amazing thing is. And for me, I try to use that, especially in the most tense moments, to go, wait, you only know this much now. Great, now you can only know this much. And to almost, there's a key moment when we start to be allowed to leave the flat. And that's when Randall almost has a proxy in another character that is now able to be his legs for him in the outside world. In any other circumstance, it's only about what Randall knows. And therefore, and because he becomes so excited about getting close to those binoculars to see the world, we start getting excited. And whenever he puts them down, it's kind of tedious and frustrating and boring for him, for us as well, and we end up almost wanting him to go back and pick them up. So yeah, that was the point.
Well, I think audience is going to be fascinated by it, and it's premiering, it's Australian premiere tonight at the Sydney Film Festival. Are you excited to screen the film before an Australian audience?
I am. I'm really, really excited, actually. I think every audience in every country, in every space, has a completely different reaction so far, and I'm excited. So yeah, it's tonight at 6 o'clock. I saw the tickets were selling, so I'm quite excited about it. I hope it's a full audience.
I hope so too. Nasifa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for this interview. Thank you for your time. Thanks, Glenn.